If you're new here, we have we have a set of phrases that we say for the sermons. And usually I will begin by saying, the Lord be with you, and for you to respond, and also with you. That's what we usually do here. And I think it's a lot better than saying, hey, how are you? And for you, and I think everybody could be a little different, right? So let me start by saying, the Lord be with you. All right. And we will also have another set of phrases of which after we finish reading the scripture, we will say, I will say the word of the Lord, and you will say, okay, we'll get there. Okay, great. Well, today we are picking up where we left off from last Sunday's sermon. It's really not my sermon. It's Stephen's sermon in the book of Acts. And if you remember, it was 53 verses in total. I don't think we have ever, read that long of a passage before. You know, we really broke the record then. But, if you remember, in that sermon, Stephen actually slammed the religious leaders, like at that place. He actually slammed them left and right and how they have squandered and wasted God's gift over all the years. Okay, so that was what happened last week, right? Focus. Okay. Well, if you remember as well, Stephen went from the promised land to the law and to the temple and then eventually to Jesus Christ. And Stephen held those people responsible for killing and crucifying the Messiah. And as we have learned already, those words did not sit well with those religious leaders. They were like really angry. And that's where we come in today. We are going to look at their response after they heard the sermon from Stephen. And we are also going to look at the account of Stephen's death, also known as the first martyrdom in the history of Christianity. All right? But instead of looking at that passage, in our passage in Acts alone, you see that inside your bulletin, I added another supporting text from Luke chapter 8, verse 4 to 18. You guys will see that in your bulletin. And I put that in there, even though they seem to be unrelated. I think it's really, really much related to our passage today. So I want us to see that as well. So having said all that, kind of build the structure for what we're going to do today, let us read the passage out loud, starting with the Acts passage from verse 54. When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was there, giving approval to his death. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. So that's the Acts passage. Let's now read the Luke's passage, the parable from Luke 4, 4 to 18. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than it was sown. When he said this, he called out, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. The word of the Lord. Father, we want to thank you so much for gathering us here today. And we know that it is your will and desire for us to come to worship with our heart and now with our mind. So Lord, as we hear about this particular account of Stephen's death and the reactions of the religious leaders, as well as the parable of Jesus that we just read, Lord, we pray that you'll help us to understand. You will open our hearts so that we may listen and listen well and listen all the way to the inside of who we are. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you can see inside your bulletin, I've entitled the sermon today as Cut to the Heart. All right? It's just a simple phrase, cut to the heart. And it's a phrase that's used to describe a strong conviction or powerful experience that moves the person into action. It's not just something that you feel and then you don't do anything about it. It's something that you feel and you do something about it right after. Cut to the heart. And a lot of times, these kind of things are spiritual moments. And there are only a few times in my life where I could honestly say that something that I experienced has somehow cut to my heart or somehow shaken me to the core of my being that caused me into doing something immediately. And let me, you know, share with you an example. Like the night when I gave myself to Jesus for the very first time. I was in the second year in college, and I was invited to go to a campus ministry conference in Edmonton, Alberta, for 3 nights. And it was a long conference, and I think the year was 1998. So that was, you know, when it happened. And on the third evening, you know, when the music segment was, you know, was on, the worship segment, the worship leader, I remember he led this song called Only by the Blood of Christ. That's the song that he led. And God used that song to cut into my heart and to shake me to the very core of my being. And I remember as I was singing the song with the worship leader, in fact, I don't think I heard that song before, but as I was singing the song, you know, I feel like I was so moved. I was so convicted of my brokenness, of my sins. And what I did was I left in the middle of the service. I went back to my room. I knelt down. I simply just prayed, Jesus, come into my life. Even though I grew up in a Christian family, even though I grew up in the church. And now, as I said, this is not something that we experience on a regular basis. I mean, a lot of us, it's easy for us to experience something that's really, really deep inside of us, but it's not like, you know, we experience something that actually so strong, that is so convicting, that actually moves us towards a decision, towards an action. Okay? And I think for most of us, when we experience something that's really, really deep in our hearts, we know that's serious stuff. It's not something to be taken lightly, okay? So the reason why I'm saying all this is that in the early chapters in Acts, Luke has been developing this particular theme, and it has something to do with the hearts of those who are in Jerusalem. If you remember back in Acts chapter 2, Peter, after he received the Holy Spirit, you know, he actually preached this very powerful sermon to the crowd. And he told the crowd that you guys are the one responsible for rejecting and killing the Messiah. So he used the scriptures from the Old Testament and he proved that, you know, Jesus Christ was actually the Son of God. Why? Because he was, you know, rose from the dead by the power of God. And then, if you remember, he gave the crowd an ultimatum. He said, God has done this. Now it's your turn to act. And after hearing that powerful delivery, Luke tells us that in Acts 2:37, that the crowd was pierced to the heart, right? You guys know what that means? Pierced means to prick. It means to cut very deeply inside your soul. It means to cause some emotional pain. So in other words, the crowd, they were moved. They were challenged. So after the sermon, many quickly asked Peter, what shall we do? Now that we're so, you know, we're being convicted, like, what shall we do now? Remember what Peter said? Peter said, you guys need to repent, and you guys need to be baptized in Christ. And right after that, 3,000 people were baptized on the spot, and they were added to the number of the church. So that was in Acts 2. But later in Acts 5, which we have gone through this before a couple of weeks ago. After performing great miraculous signs at the temple, remember John and Peter, they were doing that, and they were healing this crippled guy? They were brought before the Sanhedrin, or the Jewish council, for their effort to share the gospel. And and if you remember, as Peter boldly declared that he will not stop what he does in his ministry, and that he has proven that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God, remember what happened to the leaders? The scripture says, chapter 5, verse 33, Luke says, the members of the Sanhedrin, they were cut to the heart as well. They were cut to the heart. But did Peter's words move them into repentance as they did with the crowd in Acts 2? No, it did not. Instead, they were furious. They wanted to put them to death. And then the same thing happened again in our passage today in Acts. You see, after hearing Stephen's powerful delivery of the gospel, the religious leaders and authorities, what did they do? They're like, oh yeah, I want to accept. No, they were angry. Look at verse 54 with me in the bulletin. It says, when they heard this, they were furious. And what did they do? They gnashed their teeth at them. You know what I mean? They're like, they're so angry. Now, this Greek phrase, cut to the heart, is often translated by the modern translators as furious. But we need to understand that what Luke is trying to say here is that when they heard Stephen's words, they were cut to the heart. And the result of that, anger, rage. They wanted to kill Stephen. Right? So this means the words of Stephen somehow connected to the very, very deep part of, you know, the hearts of the religious leaders. Just like the words of Peter connecting to the crowds in Acts 2. But here's the thing. If we were to, you know, compare what happened in Acts 2 to Acts 5 and in our text, Acts 7 today, we're like, what's going on here? You see, the crowd, they heard the message of the gospel and you moved them to the heart. The religious leaders heard the exact same message and their hearts were moved as well. But the former were moved toward humility and repentance and acceptance and acceptance of Jesus. But the latter moved to anger and rejection and violence. I mean, what in the world is going on here? I mean, how could the same message have such a different outcome in the hearts of the people? That's a question that we're dealing here with, you know, today. Well, by showing us this contrast between the crowd and the religious leaders, I think Luke was trying to tell us really, really one particular important truth about how we operate as human beings. And that is, if you hear all these things, you know, and you forget everything, remember this one. This is what he's trying to say to us. He's saying our heart ultimately dictates how we listen. Our heart dictates how we listen. Or to put it another way, we may be listening to the same message, but if our hearts are different, then the result of our outcome, of our reaction, will be different. And this is very contrary to a lot of the way people think today. You see, I think a lot of times we think that people are basically the same, you know, and they're only affected by their environments or by different factors. But Luke is showing us something that's very different, that people that live in the same place, same time, hearing the same message of the gospel, they could be moved quite differently if their hearts are different. Here's a story. Here's an Indian, right? A Native American Indian. He was walking down New York City alongside with his friend who was a resident in New York, in the city. So right in the center of Manhattan, the Indian sees his friend's arm and he whispered, "Hey, I hear a cricket, like cricket." That's why, that's what the Indian friend said. "I hear a cricket, like cricket." Right? And his friend said, "Come on, are you serious? A cricket in the middle of the New York City? There's no way you can hear that. I mean, you can't hear this. I mean, there's taxis driving by, there's honks it's very loud, it's honking, and then the cash register, and you see people are like screaming at each other, and you can hear a cricket?" And then his Indian friend said, no, I'm serious. I can hear a cricket, right? So what the Indian friend did, he led his friend along So they were looking for this cricket, you know, in the middle of the busy, loud New York street, right? So they were walking, and then as they went across another street, there was a large cement planter where a tree, you know, was growing. So this Indian guy, he dug into the mulch, and he found this cricket. And then he put it up, and he said, "Hey, right here, the cricket, right?" And then his friend's like, "Are you kidding me? In the middle of New York with all these cars driving by, with the subway going underneath us, you know, with people screaming and yelling and, you know, shouting profanities, you can hear a cricket?" Right? Well, then guess what the Indian friend said? He said, "Well, here's the thing. My ears are different than yours. It simply depends on what you're listening to. Here, let me show you." So what the Indian friend did, he reached into his pockets and he pulled out a bunch of change. Quarters, nickels, dimes, pennies. And he said, "Just listen." So he put out his hands like this and he dropped it on the sidewalk. And guess what? Every single head within that block turned around and looked at the Indian. Your heart ultimately dictates how you listen. If your heart is in a certain spot, you will listen to only certain things. You see, that is what's happening here. We can be listening to the same message, but it will produce very, very different results depending on the kind of heart that we have. Well, the heart of the crowd in Acts 2, guess what? They're tender. They're soft. That's why when they hear Peter's message of the gospel, they're able to accept it. But the hearts of the religious leaders in Acts 5, and also here, you know, after they heard from Stephen, they were hard, they were stubborn. In their minds, they are already made up that Jesus could never, never be the Messiah. So when they heard Stephen's words, it's not humility, it's not acceptance, instead it's rage and anger. Let's see what happened next. Let's continue on with our passage. Let's look at verse 55. Luke says in verse 55 that when Stephen looked up to heaven, he said, "Look, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And what was the reaction of the religious leaders after they heard this? Verse 57, he says, "At this they covered their ears, yelling at the top of their voices. They all rushed at him and dragged him out of the city and began to what? To stone him." In other words, they couldn't control their emotions as they heard these words from Stephen. Their hearts were hardened, were tough, were calloused. So when they heard those words, they're not good news. Instead, they're like, "This is blasphemy. You are ridiculing my religion, my tradition, and you're ridiculing God." Now, again, the main point is our heart ultimately dictates how we listen. Now, guess what? Jesus said the same thing. You see, in the parable of the sower, we see that Jesus is really saying this. He's saying that how we listen, again, depends on what kind of heart that you have. And then he laid out four different kinds of heart. The first three are the kind of heart that does not produce any crop. And the first kind of heart is this. Jesus says the first kind of heart is like a path or like some kind of a concrete pavement. Right? It is hardened, it is tough, it is, you know, calloused. It already has a preconceived notion as to what they think about who God is and isn't. The religious leaders' hearts were like that. Yes, they heard the gospel, because of their heart condition. It's so hard, it's so callous, it's so tough. The words of God cannot even penetrate. It cannot even grow. And with this kind of heart condition, if your worldview is challenged, instead of like indifference, they'll be angry. They'll retaliate. God's word is no longer good news to those people with that kind of heart. It is violence and agitation that will cause inside of them. That's why Stephen's like with Stephen, right? So that's the first kind of heart that doesn't produce any crop. Then Jesus said the second kind of heart is like the rocks. Now the rocks are often mixed with soil. So God's words can actually take roots in that kind of environment. But Jesus says, even though the roots may grow, they may grow a little bit, but they don't really grow later. They will eventually wither. Why? Because there's no moisture. Now, what does moisture do in the soil? It softens the heart. But without the moisture, the ground is hard and dry. Jesus says, people with this kind of heart, they may receive God's words initially with joy, but the seeds cannot take root because there's, you know, it's still hard, it's still dry. So when trouble comes, people with that kind of heart condition can go, this whole following Jesus and obeying his command business, forget it. It's not me. I'm not going to do this. All right? And here's the third kind of heart that Jesus talks about. And Jesus says it's like the thorns, which also grew from the soil. But when God's words are planted, even though they grow, the stems, you know how the roots of the stems, they may grow, but they cannot even bear fruit. They may still look green. They may still, you know, they may still be okay, be alive, but they cannot produce any crop. Why? Jesus says, because the stems are choked up by the worries, by the riches, by the pleasures of this world. I mean, this is pretty common sense, isn't it? You can grow, you can come up from the ground, but you cannot produce any crops. Because all the competing issues in life are competing with your heart, and therefore your heart is not a good condition for God's word to penetrate. Well, brothers and sisters, where is your heart at? That's a question for us today. Do you do the best you can to make sure that your heart is soft and tender, ready to be pricked, to be motivated, to be convicted, and to be challenged by God's words? Or do you find that your heart is rather unwilling to truly be moved by God? Where is your heart at? And what can you do about it if you feel like your heart is not at the right place today? Well, you know what? Usually I have a lot of advice for questions like that. But you know what? Today I'm not going to give any advice. You guys have heard them all. It's between you and God alone, as I do. I'm going to close the sermon today with a farming illustration. I love farms, all right? Farming illustrations. And this illustration is actually from a youth pastor by the name of Mike Yaconelli, who's been a spiritual mentor and a hero of mine. And he wrote this illustration in an article, and it goes something like this. I'll just read it to you. He said this. He said, I live in a small rural community. There are lots of cattle ranches around here. And every once in a while, a cow will wander off and be lost. So when asked a rancher how a cow gets lost, the chances are he will say, well, the cow starts nibbling on a turf of green grass. And when he finishes, it looks ahead to the next turf of green grass. And it starts nibbling on that one. And then it nibbles on the turf of green grass right next to the hole in the fence. It then sees another turf of green grass on the other side of the fence. So it nibbles on that one and then goes onto the next turf. The next thing you know, the cow has nibbled itself into being lost. Now, brothers and sisters, I know for a fact that some of us has been nibbling our way into lostness for some time. You know, we've been moving from one turf of activity, one turf of stuff in life, from one to the next, and eventually we don't even know where our heart is at. The question still remains, where is your heart at today? I'm going to invite you to, you know, close your eyes with me, you know, just in a moment. And I want you to think about this. Just talk to God, where is your heart at right now with him? And I'm not asking you guys to repent or to confess. Simply just answer this question. Where is your heart at? Is it at a soft place? Is it at a place where you're ready to receive? Or is it at a place of indifference? Or is it at a place of busyness? That you're doing all these things in life, maybe in church, but you're far away from it. Or maybe for some of you, you're at a place of anger. You're at a place of bitterness. You're like, this is where my heart is at. It doesn't matter where you are. All I want you guys to do right now as the music plays is to close your eyes, tell God, this is where I'm at. And then in a moment, the worship team will lead us into a response song.